Well, it's just goofy and crazy. This is the news, according to me. Good Monday morning. It is December 9th, 1999. no, I guess not. It's 1942. It's 2024. December 9th. I was looking at it upside down. I'm hanging from the ceiling right now. 9:18 a.m. I am in Syracuse, New York, upstate, they call it, in the New York State area. Kind of dringy weather here this morning. It's like 38 degrees outside, and looks like it's going to rain here pretty shortly. It's going to get down near freezing later on, but it's going to be raining here most of the day. I am not exactly too excited about it. This evening, I'm not sure where I'm going to be. It looks like I might be in Fayetteville, Arkansas tomorrow. I'm not sure if I'm going to have a show from Fayetteville or if I'm going to wait until I get to Jacksonville, Florida to have a show later in the afternoon. It all depends on what the weather is doing there and what the weather is doing here. I believe I have to be out fairly early in the morning. So I'm not sure exactly how things are going to go tomorrow. Tomorrow's just the next 24 hours will be a very interesting couple of hours. What's more interesting, I guess, this morning is what's in my cup. I have Swiss Miss chocolate milk, hot chocolate here. I have no real backup cup other than water, which isn't really a backup cup. It's just water. Water's great, but it's nothing spectacular other than, it's water, which is spectacular enough in and of itself. But it's water. It's a great thing. If you don't have any, you can die without it, but I don't think I need to go into much more explanation. There's not much else to talk about it other than just water. It's just water. It's great. So it's water. A couple things I want to talk about this morning. And I guess this is where the main gist of my... the bane of my existence. I'm on my laptop again this morning. And, of course, what sound quality is never really quite that great on the laptop. A couple things I want to talk about. One of the main things this morning is... The issues that we have surrounding us right now. It's interesting to see how the world is responding. World leaders are responding to President Trump, and he's basically kind of going on a victory tour right now. Macron is embracing him and thinking he's just the most wonderful person. I don't know what he's thinking, but he's actually. They're all excited there. They seem to be a little bit more receptive this time of Trump stepping into office. So I'm not sure exactly what to think about some of this. I had some revelations earlier this morning. Should have written them down because now I can't remember what they were. And I'll think about it, and I'll remember if I think about it long enough. But the way that the news media has kowtowed to basically the sense is that they feel defeated, which they are. They're defeated, and they're continuing to ramp things up. Now they're getting kind of trying to get their second wind. They're trying to get their feet back under themselves and trying to they keep doubling down on this Hitler thing. And I think that the American people are just fed up with it. They're just sick of that. Just stop with the Hitler fascist crap. He's Hitler. He's literally Hitler. He's far right extremist. They keep saying far right extremist regime kind of stuff. This is still it didn't work for the election. It's not going to work on us now. It's not going to work. It's time. Even Cenk Uygur has decided that he's realizing that the left has been wrong. He realizes that I should play some of this audio sometime. If I get a chance this week, I just might do that. He has come to the conclusion that, hey, there, here comes a guy who says, who's saying all the things, who basically the Republican Party has become all the things that we were touting for so long, all the major things like anti-war, anti all this stuff that the left originally was all about. And all of a sudden, they're just the enemy just because they're the other side. What you don't understand is this is there's a political paradigm here. It's this whole idea that they have to maintain power. They don't care. They just have to be on the other side of the issue and make that the winning issue and hope that it's the winning issue because they care about the issue. It's because they care about the power. It's the power that they want. It's the power that they care about. And that's what's going on here. It's not a matter of what's right and what's wrong, what's best for the country. That's not the leftists, and even I would say the establishment Republicans aren't about that. They only care about their power, their ability to control and stay, maintain the status quo. That's what that's all about. Now, having said that, they continue to push. Even I think David Hogg now, I guess, as I just saw a clip with him, he's even considering running for the DNC chair. Of course, the DNC chair is stepping down. Everybody's stepping down. DNC. When they lose, they have to step down. That's just the way that they're defeated. So they have to, you know, beat up their own in that respect, which it's partially understandable. But it's amazing how that stuff happens on the left, and they're trying to regroup, trying to figure out what they're going to do, what their strategy is going to be, how they're going to get power back. And really, it's not about power to the people; it's about power to them, the party. That's what that's about. That's why they can't agree with anything that anyone on the right or Donald Trump might say, because that would be perceived. Just anything he says, anything comes out of his mouth, they have to oppose it. Now, there's a guy who wrote a book a while back. I'm not going to talk about what the book is, but he has had some serious visions, is able to see some things, and allegedly, that's what he claims. And one of the things he says he claims is that he saw this, it was a demonic spirit. He said he saw it with it had on one side of its, it had two faces, one on one side of its head and one on the other side of its face, And on one side was it had a thing on its forehead said Republican, and the other side it said Democrat. And this could be in anything. I find this fascinating, this vision particularly fascinating, because we think of opposing spirits here. When we think of people, the opposition kind of thing, we think of spirits fighting against each other. We think of, the kind of the battle that's going on. We see it as a fence line, the battle, it's like a battle line that's drawn, and we're fighting across this, this line, pushing back, doing this and that. This particular spirit, it was the same spirit, but it had two different labels. On one side it was one thing, and on the other side it was another. What's fascinating about this is that it's the same spirit, but we're all fighting, aligning with or fighting against, fighting with and aligning with at the same time. It's the spirit of division, and the spirit of division has this ability to, it's just one spirit. It's not two spirits fighting against each other. It's one spirit, and it's causing us to fight against each other. And that's what it's there for. So it's the epitome of deception and manipulation. It's just an incredible thought. To realize that's it has kind of changed my paradigm in terms of where we are now. Unity at any cost. Giving up truth for the sake of unity, giving up, that's not where I'm at. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's this idea that we can't come together on anything because, the opposition is. What's interesting is that one of the things that Cenk Uygur said, he said, if on the left, he said, it seems like if he disagrees with one aspect, one iota of anything that's in the leftist agenda, you're ostracized, cast out, you're against us, you're immediately vilified, and I think this is what has drawn people like Tulsi Gabbard and Robert F. Kennedy, a lot of Democrat leaders over to the Republican side because they have been, there are things that we agree on and welcome to the club. We welcome things that we agree on. We also, our ability to have discourse and discussion about things we disagree on with open arms. We welcome that. Let's discuss it. Let's see if we can come to a conclusion on this stuff. Here's where our perspective is, and this is, and we, you know, if you feel strongly about it, because you have certain beliefs, because your beliefs are built on certain foundational information that you, which may or may not be true. In most cases, it probably is because you've actually done some research. Whereas the left just plays on an emotional ploy, and that's very different than having, you know, the facts and the numbers and the statistics and everything else that goes along with it without manipulation of those things. So there's this incredible awakening, I think, is happening among some in the Democrat Party. One of the things that Cenk Uygur said was that he just agrees with 2 or 3% of things that in the Republican Party, and all of a sudden they're welcoming him with open arms. It's just they want to have discussion. They want to have the, you know, come on aboard, come on, you know. Whereas with the left, it's not that way. You can agree with 98%, disagree with 2% of the things, and they'll throw you to the curb. And it's just kind of because it's become a radical cult. It is the definition of a cult basically is if you disagree or have any kind of dissent, any kind of issues, you want to challenge the leaders or call someone a liar or not lie when they tell you to lie. You are on the outside. You're cast out. You are shunned. So that's kind of the way the left has been, and people are waking up to this fact because they have one little thing that they disagree with, and all of a sudden the next thing you know, they're in a war with the left. Look at Joe and Mika Brzezinski, Joe Scarborough and Mika, or whatever her name is, went down to Florida to talk to Orange Man Bad. So of course he's been so vilified, and of course that's what all their outrage is. And what amazes me is that he's been vilified by guess who? Joe and Mika. All this time they've been saying how horrible of a man he is, how terrible he is, and they turn around and go down there and offer this olive branch, and they want to have discussion, they want to have open communication with this guy. You don't do that with Macron now is also been known to have said some very derogatory. But I think that what has surprised them is okay, this rhetoric, this they're coming to the realization that this monster that we created him out to be may not be the monster we thought he was, because the American people have just grown weary and sick and tired of this facade that you've tried to put over our eyes. We're sick of it. It's not penetrating anywhere. It's not making any sense anymore. And so I think 60 Minutes, somebody just had an interview with the president, and of course they were trying to challenge him on some things, and he was saying some things. Next thing I see is this baloney thing coming out, some headlines, some people who are anti-Trumpers, of course, and they're all saying how this is the actual agenda. This is his actual agenda. He might be saying these things, but this is what's underneath his agenda. This is what the sneaky thing he's going to pull. Oh, really? You know what he's going to do because it's, you're so smart. That's just that kind of thing is, again, just stirring up more rhetoric. The more anything that Trump says is going to be, misinterpreted, misaligned, misspoken of. They will come up with whatever they want to say about the guy. And of course, they just continue to dig this hole. They didn't learn anything from the elections about, because people will eventually find out the truth. And people just don't believe him anymore. They come out and say, well, he said this, but this is what this is. He said, good people on both sides. But they don't listen. They don't play the whole thing. It's just the whole thing. They've continued to do this, and people can found out. They started to listen, and all because of independent media, folks. This is not because of mainstream or legacy media, especially with the MSNBC and CNN folks. They realize they have really gone off the deep end with this. The rhetoric isn't working. They're not going to stop using it. They're going to find a different way to create manipulation. That's what's going to happen here. Now, I think that the feeling of being beaten up and defeated now is probably soaking in pretty well. But they're all that's only going to motivate them, or they still want power, and they're going to try to get it any way they can. So they're attacking in the typical Kavanaugh. Everybody's being Kavanaugh'd right now. You know, Hegseth is, of course, he's all these allegations against the guy about, you know, inappropriate activities, whatever it is that they're saying. Of course, they have a picture of Hegseth with an American flag at the 9/11 memorial, and they claim he's wearing his underwear. He's in his underwear. How pathetic, how disgusting. They went through this whole long tirade of, you know, this is the kind of person you want to have be the head of. This picture was taken right after he got done swimming with a Navy SEAL team, I guess across the river. They had a swim. He swam across the river in memory of 9/11. And the whole thing was to go all the way across. I think they carried a flag all the way across as they were swimming. And then took that flag to the 9/11 memorial. And he was there in his swimsuit, which wasn't Speedos. It was a swimsuit. It wasn't his underwear. He was there with that team. But the misalignment of this whole thing, this is just the continued baloney that they put out there, knowing full well they're lying through their teeth. It's not what they're saying. It's not what's happening. It's not what's happening, and they're misreporting it, disreporting it. In my opinion, they're willfully and meaningfully, intentionally reporting fake news. And I think that people have just grown so sick and tired of this. Now, there are still people who will still wrap themselves up in it and still keep going with it and get all emotional. They have to keep them on this emotional binge, this mental breakdown that they're having on the left collectively. And it's what's concerning to me is how just how many there are and how much it is so prevalent in our society. Now, there are some things that this... Okay, so I want to weigh in on something that's been going on. A lot of questions about this. There's a CEO of a health insurance company who was recently gunned down in the streets of New York. I think it was last week. And this has shocked the nation and has shocked a lot of people. There's video of this guy getting shot, I guess, on the street. He came out from a building somewhere, I think, and this guy's walking by, and a hooded man with a backpack comes walking past. A whole lot of things here really bother me. But this guy comes walking by, and of course he starts shooting at him, and has all kinds of issues with his gun, and he continues on walking, supposedly drops the backpack later on or something, I don't know. There's a lot of weird things going on with this whole scenario, with the pictures they have of this guy. They've got pictures of him. In one case, he's got a different backpack. The color of the backpack is different. The jacket is different that he's wearing. You know, with the one he's got his face mask on. This is kind of like the Unabomber. They showed us a picture of the Unabomber where he has a hood over his head, sunglasses on, and a mask on. That could be anybody. Anybody wearing a hood, mask, and glasses looks exactly the same. And this, you know, it's, how do you? This is what the guy looks like. They literally put it's almost as if it was a joke. And I think even Saturday Night Live actually had a skit about this. And they kept putting up different things, and it was always the same picture. You know, it just looks like this guy. And it's so ridiculous because there's no features. You can't tell who that person is. And this is the kind of thing they put out with this guy. They had a hood, mask. Of course, you can wear a mask because that's acceptable now. You're normal walking down the street with a mask on now. And so this guy has a hood on, mask on, and they got pictures of this guy with the mask down and with the hood off, and it's not the same guy. I can't First of all, with facial recognition and everything else that's going on these days, we would know who this guy is by now. Now, of course, there's a manhunt for the guy, and it's, you know, is there going to be a patsy? Is there going to be somebody that they find that is going to take the fall for this? And what is the deal? Now, concerning the gun, some people are saying that this was a professional hit. This was not a professional hit, by the way. In fact, this was so bad that it couldn't have even been a faked bad hit. It just, the guy apparently was using subsonic ammunition, probably. I think it was 22 caliber. Of course, he wanted the spent cartridges to be found because he had messages written on them, I guess. If he's using subsonic ammunition, if the gun isn't set up properly, you get what you call a failure to feed. In other words, it doesn't jam, it just won't feed the slide won't push back far enough. Subsonic ammunition is designed to be used with a suppressor to make it much more quiet. In fact, it just sounds like a click sometimes. It's very, very quiet. Doesn't create a loud pop as the gun exits, or as the bullet exits the gun, because there's no supersonic sound barrier being penetrated there. There's no crack. So it's just a very high velocity bullet that doesn't break the speed of sound. So all you hear is the mechanics of the gun itself and a little bit of puff. It's very quiet. Silencers, this one reporter was asking this expert on television, what he thought about the, what's the difference? Was he using a silencer or was he using a suppressor? Well, yes, because silencer is the word we use for movies and for the general public. It's actually a suppressor. There's no such thing as a silencer necessarily. It's a suppressor. It suppresses the sound. People call it a silencer, but it's not not that. And that's why there's so much. That's why we can't have them, is because unless you have a special stamp and all this stuff, which I think the Supreme Court now is actually pushing back on a little bit. My understanding is some of these expenses of owning a suppressor may go away. A suppressor is a very useful tool, and it's not necessarily just for criminals. Only criminals would use suppressors because that's a silencer. It makes it quiet. They can go around shooting people and be completely quiet. Well, okay, why would you? So, knife's pretty quiet too. And of course, then at the same time, they go around and they're taking these shot spotters out of cities that hear gunshots. Might as well have a silencer, because it's anyway. So, I don't really care for chocolate milk too much. Hot chocolate. So everybody's complaining. There's this conspiracy theories out there with this guy being a professional hit. It is not. The guy had to, he would take a shot and had it wouldn't. It was a failure to feed. So there was no gun in, or there was no bullet in the chamber. He had to re-rack it. He said the way he was doing the re-racking was incredibly unprofessional. just wasn't, nothing about this was set up as a professional at all. Now, he might have seen some movies, thought he was going to be, Jason Bourne, whatever he was doing. I don't know what he was doing, but he was doing all this stuff, and it's not right. Now, the whole motive, though, however, is a whole other issue. Is this guy, did he have a son? Did he have someone in his family that, died? He got a health insurance claim that was denied. Was there, something that was going on there? It just, who knows? It was him that had the health, the health issue. I don't know. All this stuff is just way too speculative at this point. And of course, the information we're going to get is probably different than everybody else. I think the concern is that when this kind of thing happens, that there will be copycats. There will be other people who will be emboldened to do the same thing. My understanding is there are a lot of CEOs of a lot of different companies now that are they're basically being taken off the grid. They're being protected, being shuffled into safe spaces, basically. All concerned about more of this kind of thing happening. So we'll see how this goes at this point. But it's in the meantime, it's all kind of wacky, crazy stuff. Now, concerning the issues with what's happening leading up to Trump's inauguration, as we go through the Christmas season, I think things will kind of settle down here for a little bit. There's going to be some interesting things happening. I'm a little bit concerned that the powers that be out there, the deep state and the establishment Republicans, the establishment Democrats, they are very manipulative and they're very good at what they do. They can spin a story. They can, you know, they can get the issues pushed in their direction in so many different ways. And I think it's important that we don't take our eye off the ball, even during this Christmas season. Not that we should be distracted by, you know, things, you know, just spending time with our families and having that kind of thing happening. You know, the kind of relationships that we need to be really be tightening up this through this season. But at the same time, let's not forget that we have there's a lot of things going on, and I think if we take our eye off the ball, they can, you know, this is kind of one of those little game cup games with the ball underneath it. They can, as they're rotating things around, they can. It's very easy for them to manipulate things. So we need to kind of continually be aware of what they're doing here, and just have an awareness of you know how they're trying to manipulate us, what their next moves are going to be with regard to trying to stop the people from having any kind of reprieve from the onslaught. Now there's some interesting things are happening, and here's one of my cautions, I guess, that I'd like to put out there. What we're seeing is we're witnessing a time in history. I just think in the last 16 years, the things that we've seen in this country and things we've seen in this nation, let alone the last 6 months. I mean, but it's been amazing to see some of the things we've seen in this time in our history. What the history books will have to say about all this be interesting. If we live that long, the you know what seems like a good thing. I mean, you've got for instance, this is probably one of the major things I've seen happen here recently. That I guess in the last day, I guess yesterday, just you know, if you want to call it yesterday, on the other side of the world, Assad has now fled from Syria. He is now, I guess, gone to Russia. He's fled to Russia. You have to be very careful with what we consider to be victories. I don't know that this is necessarily a victory. I know that Assad has been considered a ruthless dictator and a brutal man. But so was Saddam Hussein. However, when the balance of power starts to get monkeyed with, you never know what's going to turn up or turn over from that. I mean, remember when we had ISIS and we had all the other things that were happening with all that because of all of our meddling over in the Middle East. And maybe for the better, maybe sometimes for the worse. I don't, it's hard to tell sometimes whether or not things are, you know, whether we're doing any good or not. But at the same time, as we're doing all these things, we have to really watch, I think, how we offset or how things are offset with those who are monkeying with these things. Apparently, it's partially because of Israel, what's going on between Israel and Hamas and Syria and everything else. There's a political component to all this, and the U.S. has a tendency to meddle in all these things. So, whether directly or indirectly. So I think that we are in a state here where the realigning of many, many things are happening here. What may look like good things on the surface may be just more intensely divided lines and a kind of a formation of what you might say might be the end, the Armageddon, or the Armageddon War, the kind of the final battle here we're ramping up for, that all these things are starting to align and come into place and come into to fruition here. Now, whether or not you're pre-trib or post-trib doesn't matter, because the trib's going to happen when the trib happens. It doesn't matter what you believe about it. It's kind of like whether or not you believe that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days or 7 days. You know, it doesn't affect your salvation. It doesn't affect, you know, we'll figure all that out at some point. What's important is how we relate to each other. And if that affects the way you relate to your neighbor, then that's more important. And so folks, tomorrow, hopefully there'll be a show here in the next 24 hours. I don't know for sure. But in the meantime, we'll continue to pray for our nation, pray for our president, and God bless. Have a great rest of your day, a great rest of your Christmas season, if you don't hear from me before then. And we'll talk later. See ya!